Okay, so here we go. Now, you know, the crazy thing about it is sometimes technology has its way, but we made it through, and I'm so excited to have my guest today. The awesome thing about it is I've been doing Sports 101 for a while, and the exciting thing for me is always I always try to bring really good guests to my audience. And the funny thing about it is this this audience that we have now is a new audience. And we've been able to bring speakers, we've been able to bring athletes, we've been able to now bring a boxer to the table, and I'm so excited. Are you there, Rais? Can you hear me? Rais, can you hear me? Hello?
Can
you hear me, Rais?
I can hear you.
Perfect.
Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yeah, we were having a little trouble. I think they're having a little bit of trouble at the studio, so I do apologize for that. But we got you here. Thank the Lord for that. And I'm just welcoming you to the show. I'm excited about it. Our audience is excited. They've been emailing me all morning saying, where is Rais? We want to hear what's going on. We want to hear when the next fight is, a little bit about how you got started. So let's start with that. A lot of people know you. And it's crazy because you told me some things behind the scenes that allows you to get to where you're at right now. So I kind of want to take them through that if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I want to ask you that.
It's been a dream. Okay, yeah, no. It's,
you're living the dream.
it's been a long journey. I got my black belt in karate when I was young. I was in the karate gym at the age of 3. And ended up getting my black belt when I was like 12, turning 13. And after that, it was kind of like, what's next? So my dad took me to the boxing gym, and I just kind of stuck with it. You know, I was a natural at it because I already knew how to fight, being a black belt. And I just stuck with it, and it was pretty amazing.
Now, how long have you been fighting? Because you said you started the black belt when you were a kid. And how long have you actually been fighting? When did that start? What age?
Man, so, yeah, I mean, like, we used to go to karate tournaments and stuff like that. So I've been athletically on my feet since 3 years old. But I've been boxing for, like, at least, like, 20 years. Yeah, I've been boxing for about 20 years.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, that's cool. That's why you're so good at it, you know? And I guess I'll ask, can you think back to your first match that you really knew you were a pro boxer and was like, wow, I am really doing this?
Well, my first boxing fight, it kind of felt like an out-of-body experience, almost like I was in the stands watching me fight. You know, it was a little bit of nervousness, but it was more so just the out-of-body experience. You know, it was just it was just different because in the amateur, you wear headgear, you got a shirt on, the gloves are a little bit heavier. And, you know, in the pros, it, you know, that's what really matters. There's no headgear, no shirt, and this is for everything. So it would probably be my first boxing fight in Holland, Michigan.
In Holland, Michigan. Wow. And that's where you're from, right?
Well, I'm originally from Muskegon, Michigan, but yes, Michigan.
In Michigan area. Yeah. Because I read a lot of things about you, you know, doing my homework, and I was reading the fact that they, you know, called you the beast and that you were, you know, really took people by storm when you first stepped on the ring, you know. And so now here we are many years later, you're a full-fledged fighter, you're doing great. Tell me about your first knockout. I always want to know that.
My first knockout, man, I don't even remember my first knockout. Yeah. You know, like, well, because it's like, for me, it's always been expected. You know, it's like I've always been the underdog, you know,
right.
Overlooked, kind of taken for granted and stuff. When everybody else has had all the resources, everybody behind them and this and that, and I've done it myself, you know, and that's just the hand I was dealt. You know, I just did it the hard way. I didn't complain about it. It was just the way it was, you know. So when
right.
I did get my first knockout, although I was excited, to me in my head, it was expected. You know, I expect to win. I expect to dominate. I expect to put on a show, you know, and I feel like that's just a certain mentality that elite fighters have.
Yeah,
but
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would definitely say so. You got to see it before you before it happens. And I'm sure you saw it many times. And like you say, when it happened, it was just like, you know, I expected that. Well, you know, we're all excited, and we want to know, you know, kind of what's next for you, Rais? What's coming up?
Well, May 4th, I'll be fighting on the Canelo undercard, Cinco de Mayo weekend. I'll have a world title fight coming up against a world champion fighter in Brandon Figueroa. So I'm extremely excited about that. We'll be fighting at 126. So, yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a great fight, a lot of fireworks, and everybody should definitely tune in. And I can't wait to win another title.
Yep, I can't wait for you to win one either. Now, for those of my audience that don't know, because I always think everybody knows sports because I live, breathe, and eat it every day, but give them a little history about the weight that you fight and things like that and the way it's supposed to go. Like, I never knew this until I started talking to you that, you know, there were certain levels that you go, you know, and then you get to the point where you're doing the championship fights. And that's a whole other beast of another kind. I wasn't familiar with bantamweight or super bantamweight, so let's give them some education.
Yeah. There's definitely levels. You know, there's the different weight classes: bantamweight, featherweight, lightweight, and whatnot. So like I actually started off at featherweight 126, and then I took a few fights at lightweight 130. But I had an opportunity to fight an undefeated fighter at bantamweight, which was 122, you know. So it was hard to cut the weight, but, you know, I cut the weight, did what I had to do, and boom, made it down to 122. And if you understand boxing, you have to understand how to move in the sport, you know. So it's how you become a four-division weight champion or two-division world champion. It's, you know, you win it at a lighter weight class and you move up so you can fight for a title a lot sooner. But you also have to be good enough because everybody is extremely tough, you know, especially at that elite level. So it's definitely levels. And then when you're coming up, you can fight practically every other month, you know, but the higher you climb up that totem pole, you fight twice a year, three times a year, and in some places once a year.
Okay.
Right, you know, so like I only fought one time last year. I'm hoping to fight twice this year. But, you know, I'm just at that certain level to where you don't fight as frequent because of just where you're at and what you've accomplished.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. I mean, a lot of people know or they think they know. What it takes to become a fighter and what it takes to prepare for a fight. I mean, you know, we sit here with Floyd Mayweather and, you know, Tyson and all the other fighters before you, and we see them walk in, they do their thing, and then they leave, right, whether they win or they lose. But it really is pretty taxing what your body has to go through, and you have to be extremely disciplined. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, see, you know, at the end of the day, winning requires everything and nothing's guaranteed. So, like, when it comes to the sport of boxing, nobody's waking you up at 3 a.m. to go run, to go to the gym. That, you know, that has to come from you internally. You know, nobody's holding your hand to push yourself and try to go to that next level in your workouts, to do the two-a-days, to do the three-a-days, to get into yoga or to stretch a little bit or to eat the right foods. And, you know, we're all human. At the end of the day, you can walk into a grocery store and, like, whoever is checking you out at the counter, that could be a professional basketball player, a professional football player, or professional boxer, depending on how much they want it. What are you willing to sacrifice to make your dreams or your passion come through? You know, at the end of the day, we're all human, but some people just want it more than others, and some people's passions are just different.
Well, you know, it's funny because, as you know, I've been around sports now for 20 years, and I've seen it from, you know, the bottom up, and I've seen it from the top, and I've seen even my own son, you know, was a pro athlete 9 years overseas, it takes a lot. I mean, you know, you can't go out and party with everybody. You can't do some of the things that other people do, but the sacrifice is real. And once you sacrifice and win like you have, I mean, 20 wins, you kept winning. So, you know, once you win, it probably fuels you even more because it's like, okay, yeah, I really realize what I have to do to get to this point, and I don't care who knows, who's understanding it or who's with me, but I'm with me. Is that kind of how you operate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like everybody wants to hang out with friends, and, you know, that's cool, but you got to make certain sacrifices to be able to do what you do at an extremely high level. So you can't hang out with the friends or you can't go drink and party, you know, everything in moderation. But you always put your profession, your sport first, second, and third, and everything else comes after that.
That's how it's supposed to be, you know. And it's interesting because I will tell Rais and I sat at a restaurant, and I was so bad because I was eating and he's training. And to me, that showed me right there how disciplined you really are and how much you want it, because I don't think I could have done that. I would have had to have a French fry or something. But, I mean, you know, that's just how disciplined you are and how hard you work. Now, I know, you know, you have a family, and you, like you mentioned your dad, and you mentioned mom with me before and things like that. And I know it sometimes has to be hard on them to see you in that training mode as well. Tell me a little bit about that and how, you know, how it was for mom and dad.
Yeah, you know, it's like they've been seeing me doing it for so many years. Like I remember when I lived back in Muskegon, I would wake up and I'd go jogging. You know, like nobody would tell me, but I'd go jogging all around the city, and then I'd come home, and later on, my father figure, who was my original boxing coach, Terry Markowski,
right,
he would come, he would pick me up, take me to the boxing gym. He'd take me to Detroit, Ohio, Chicago, you know, so we would take trips. And I've just been on this routine for so many years, you know, since I was 14 years old. Like, I've never stopped. The thing is,
yeah,
is like some people start and stop and they go 2 years without or a year without. Like, I consistently did it. I mean, you know, I've had other things going on in life, but I've never stopped boxing. So I guess just fast forward till now, everything is just kind of routine. It's like, oh, yeah, Rice is going jogging, or, oh, yeah, he's doing a 3-a-day workout or a 2-a-day workout, or, you know. So it's kind of just ingrained to everybody, like, hey, this is just what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I'm going to ask you a couple of good questions that I'm sure the audience wants to know. Okay, so you've fought 20 times and you've won, and you've had a great time doing it, I think, because I've watched a couple of your bouts. So I was like, he's having a good time with this because you're strategically figuring it out. Who haven't you fought that you want to fight in this journey?
You mean like a all-time opponent that I would love to fight,
yeah,
or just like somebody in my
opponent
division?
Let's go division first because obviously that's the most important right now. So let's go division first and then all-time.
Okay, well, division first would be Noeya Inoue. You know, they call him the monster. He's a Japanese fighter. He's a phenomenal fighter. He came up from, I think, 115 to 118 to 122. There's talks about him moving up to 126, but that's not solidified. But right now, he's the best fighter, basically, that everybody's saying in, like, the generation, you know.
Yes.
So I would absolutely love to fight that fight.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not in the sport of boxing to play it safe. I, you know, I don't cherry pick. I want to fight the best of the best because I am the best, you know, and that's, you know, just the mentality, you know. So, yeah, definitely Noeya Inoue. That would be my number one target, 100%.
Okay. And who in all time?
In all time, well, you know, I'm a huge Marvin Hagler fan, you know.
Okay.
So it's like, man, I would have loved to have been able to share the ring with Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Marvelous
and, you know,
Marvin.
Yeah, okay. You know, so he had to change his name because he didn't feel like he was getting the respect that he deserved from everybody. And, you know, that's relatable. You know, for me, always being an underdog my whole life, and then also when it comes to the sport of boxing, it's like I feel the exact same way, you know. So to be able to share the ring with him would be an amazing experience.
Would be
experience.
Amazing, right? That would be an amazing experience. So let's talk about the name, okay? You just brought something up that I hadn't talked about. I remember when I was doing some work for you, we do work together, and I was doing some work for you, and the name The Beast just kept coming out. So where did that come from?
It just came from people seeing me at the gym. People see me at the gym, oh, he's a beast, you know, like they would use just random people, you know, they'd come in and watch, or, you know, maybe they see me sparring, or maybe they just see me working out. So, like, anytime I'm always in the gym, it's tunnel vision. I'm not, like, you know, talking to the other fighters or, you know, at this time I'm in the amateurs. But, like, I'm just, boom, I'm tunnel vision. I'm grinding.
Yes.
And people would just start calling me a beast. And one day Terry Markowski, my father figure, was just Rais the Beast. You know, he just kind of said that nickname. it just stuck, you know. So ever since then, that's what it's been.
That's what it's been. Yep. Well, I'm excited about what you're doing. And you know, my audience has been with me for a long time. And the nice thing about them is they are riders. They will ride with you wherever you go, especially if you take a little time out like you're doing right now and talking to me about it. You know, I mean, so many people hold everything inside and don't want to share it with people. But, you know, there's people coming behind you. There's your fans. There's everybody wanting to know, you know, okay, what's going on? How's he doing it? When is he fighting? When do we get our tickets? All that kind of good stuff. So you got to make sure as soon as those tickets go on sale that we know about it so that we can help push those numbers for you guys as well. And one of the things that I also want to talk to you a little bit about, okay, so we've talked about the beginning. We've talked about the middle. I want to talk about 5 years from now. Where is Rais?
Well, I'm actually getting into other passions, another career. You know, I want to be – I see myself boxing for an extremely long time. But I'm also getting into modeling, getting into acting, you know. So 5 years from now, don't be surprised if you see me starring in a movie or, you know, a TV series. You know, I'm also interested in getting into real estate, but one of the ultimate goals outside of boxing would be to become a successful actor and model.
Well, definitely you've got those star looks, and, you know, we're going to push that forward and make sure that you're seen not only in the ring, but also in many other places. And you're smart to say that because a lot of athletes kind of stick to the athlete thing. They're like, I'm just going to play football. I'm just going to play football. But they don't think about, you know, afterwards. And so I'm glad that you're one of those athletes and you're sharing that with people that, you know, you have some other aspirations to, that you can do, especially if you're, like you said, if you only have two fights a year or maybe three, you still got time to run the runway and smile on a commercial and things like that. So we look forward to seeing you in that as well.
Yeah. I've always been a long-term type thinker, and it just makes the most sense long-term. But also, I want to be an inspiration to people, especially people from my hometown, Muskegon, Michigan, that, like, you know, if you believe in yourself, you follow your dreams, that anything is possible. You know, you can be a doctor, a lawyer, and then also go on to do this and do that and just, you know, continue to grow and elevate in whatever you choose to do in life.
Yes. And we are excited about it. And so what I want to do is just thank you so much for coming to the show. Do you have any last words that you want to say?
Hey, tune in. May 4th is going down. You're going to see Rais the Beast Aleem back in the ring, winning another title. It's going to be an amazing show, a lot of fireworks. Tune in.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. And audience, we'll make sure you got the information. Thank you so much, Rais, The Beast, for hanging with me today, and I'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.